Thanks for having me on, Lynn. I appreciate you having me here.
The conversation and the new constructs around young boys, around men, has changed so much. I think it must be a difficult time, a difficult era right now for men, in that you have to be masculine yet vulnerable. You have to have grit and resilience, yet be brave and sensitive. And I just, while I'm a female, I don't know, I feel your pain, I think.
I mean, it's definitely a struggle, but I think it's a struggle in the right direction. The model of manhood that I grew up with was, if you have any pain, grit through it. Don't even admit it's there. In fact, that's a sign of weakness. If you want to prove yourself as a man, do the most dangerous thing that makes your buddies like drop their jaws. And I love that your show's The Mountain Life, because I climbed the tallest mountain on every continent. I went to the top of Mount Everest, climbed in Antarctica even, and this model ended up becoming destructive, even though, like, these ideas of strength, sure, that's great, but there has to be a proper context for when we want our young men to exemplify each one. So a healthy human can do both, and he's able to recognize, or anybody's ready, able to recognize, here's the time to be emotionally honest and, as you said, vulnerable, or here's the time when I need to be tough and stand up for those who I want to protect or for my own values.
Your book, The Warrior Challenge, 8 Quests for Boys to Grow Up with Kindness, Courage, and Grit. What a great title and a tagline. I can't wait to give this book to my nephew, who's 12 years old, who I feel like is a really great target audience. Who is your target audience?
My target audience is for, ideally, it would be for parents to buy this book and go through it together with the young men in their life. And you form your own definition of what is it to be a warrior in our family. So that would be the ideal. But it's really written for a young man once he's hit puberty. And that's why the age is kind of hard to define, because it's like we're seeing kids start puberty at 6 now. And some don't start until they're 17, 18. So once a man sort of start, or once a boy starts making these physical changes, how do we guide that energy in a positive direction that uplifts? How do we show him to use his strength, which is in virtues and in protecting the values and the people that need to be protected in his life? And that's who this book is for.
Being a mountaineer, John, you come into contact on your quest for the 7 summits with many, many different people, fewer women, more men, but you must have seen sort of the most successful paradigm for someone who can be tough and resilient and have grit, but who can also say, I'm scared about the fact that I'm running low on oxygen, or I'm scared because my left knee is swelling up, or whatever it is. I'm scared that I'm going to die, that I'm not going to make it to the top, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, tell me the journey of climbing Mount Everest and the 7 summits to this book.
Sure. So those were all real things that happened to me. My oxygen was running out. One of the threads was so cold that it split, the little rubber sealant split. And so I was supposed to have 10 hours of oxygen. Each bottle ended up giving me about 3 hours of oxygen. And so I was climbing without supplemental oxygen for several hours. People passed away on the mountain while I was there. And to answer your question about how it relates to like the real life experiences in the book, what that resulted in for me was seeing these people pass away and being confronted with my own possibility of dying. I got pulmonary edema.
People's post-traumatic all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lethal condition where your lungs don't process the oxygen. They start filling with fluid. And I was like in a race to get down. And so that resulted in post-traumatic stress disorder from seeing these deaths. And I think now that it was more courageous to make the decision to sit down on the couch of a therapist's office than it was to climb Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I looked down at 10,000 feet on one side, 8,000 feet on the other, on the summit ridge of Everest. That was less scary to me than telling somebody I'm hurting. Mm. And I talk about that in this book, and I'm like thrilled to tell you now that I don't qualify for the conditions or for the symptoms of post-traumatic stress any longer because I went there. And how much better would my life have been had I known that as a young man, or had I grown up knowing it's okay to say like this hurts and there's a time to show how tough you are, and that can be good. Right? If somebody's violating your values or somebody's going against what you stand for, that's the time to be tough. But if you're compromised and you need to ask for help, that's also a version of toughness. And I wanted to show that in the book. So specifically, that's how the mountaineering comes into these eight quests.
Mm. If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, I'm speaking with John Beatty. His new book is The Warrior Challenge, Eight Quests for Boys to Grow Up with Kindness, Courage, and Grit. Well, John, let's talk about these eight quests. First of all, do you have a favorite?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard because they're all so amazing. So I do actually. And to talk about it, the framework of the book is to take the reader and put them into the shoes of eight real life, like historical, genuine figures who are role models. And you live out their adventures as though you're that person. And in order to succeed at this kind of video game style quest of each of these challenges is to embrace the value that they needed. And so my favorite of all these quests was of my friend Wally Sturbu, who I met while climbing in Indonesia with him. And Wally is from Romania, and it was a communist country, and he escaped by taking seal blubber, rubbing the seal blubber all over his body to make a makeshift wetsuit. He swam through the Danube River in the middle of like ice was passing him. It's freezing cold in the middle of night so that he wouldn't be shot by security guards and patrols. He makes himself to the shore of Yugoslavia, hitchhikes across Yugoslavia as he's stinking like seal blubber, makes it across, and is thrown into prison. He's caught. He goes to prison. The day he's released, he does the exact same thing, goes through that whole journey again, finally crosses into Austria and starts applying for asylum. Now he's a retired firefighter for the city of Chicago. Like, I put you as the reader into this, like, you're living that moment for him. And you're going, whoa, this is insane. And then we talk about, and then I stop and we go, okay, what did Wally do? Well, he set boundaries for himself. He said, this is what I stand for. I'm not being treated in the way that I want to live. You know, his dream was to travel the world. It was to meet people from other cultures. He wasn't able to do that. And so he said, I'm not standing for it. I'm going to set healthy boundaries. I'm going to do what it takes to defend my right to have this life that I want to live. So then I show, okay, here's how to actually do it as a young man today. Here's how to say, I don't like this treatment I'm receiving. I stand for these values instead. And I'm going to use my strength as a guy to stand up for those values and set boundaries that are respectful, but also end up getting what you need.
What a story. Okay, I keep looking over the eight challenges and I can't decide which one it is, the story about Wally.
That's challenge four. So I you know, everything's warrior themed. And so that's what it means to reinforce your armor, is to create boundaries. So it's all like written in warrior language throughout the book.
And it's funny, it's a little bit literal as well, because the seal blubber was his literal armor.
Right. Probably couldn't stop a sword, but yeah, it was.
Well, that's true. You also include a lot of fun cartoon illustrations and activities in the book that you can, you know, you can mark up the book, you can, you have a lot of little boxes with little activities and quotes from people. It's really so visually pleasing, especially for, I think, you know, parents going through this with their young men or boys, but also for those boys to just flip through it. Do you have someone in your life that you've gone through this with?
So I love the art that's in here. It's Johnny Dombrowski is a professional comic book artist, and he took all these eight stories, kind of like Wally's, but then the other seven, and he made this beautiful comic book art that I couldn't be happier with. And the checkpoints are that you mentioned are for parents as discussion guide questions, or if you're a part of a church group or scouts or an organization that has any young men in it, you can use these. In fact, any humans in it, and this works for girls too, you can have these discussion questions. And so it's meant for the parent to be the warrior guide, not necessarily for me to be the warrior guide. And did I go through it with somebody? I've spoken to close to 1 million live audience members, tweens and teenagers, and teaching these lessons has been my life work. I also try and instill them with my nephew. He's read the book and we've talked about it. That's my experience with it. This is the first time it's in print though. It just came out.
Wow. Well, congratulations. It's a great book. And I haven't seen a lot of this sort of thing out recently, so I think you're going to do great with it. I am thinking about a handful of years back, I interviewed someone who had written a book called Swagger, and it was about swagger. You know, it was about young boys who put on the tough guy act. We can see through it, right? We know that they're really insecure and unsure of themselves. They're going through puberty. What a difficult time. And so they just put on this swagger and they are tough. And my heart just breaks for them. They are the perfect kind of kid to read this book. What would be a good challenge? And I know these are sort of in order, but which challenge does that make you think of, that sort of boy?
That makes me think of my own. And like I mentioned with climbing Mount Everest, that was my message too. And in my meeting students from all over the country, and I've spoken on six continents and meeting young people, that kind of concept of swagger or toughing through it is not unique. That's why it's so impactful for me to tell my Everest story, because I'm, you know, I'm like bundled up. And there's not a bit of skin showing because 30 seconds of fingers or skin exposed will result in frostbite. I've got my ice axe. There's 10,000 feet on one side, 2 mile drop down. And then I say, but hold on. That's not what it is to be a guy. That's not what it is to be manly. What it is to be manly is to say, I hurt and I would like help. That's tougher. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like throw this boomerang of, you think you're in this like, oh, cool. Yeah, it was tough. It's an incredible feat. And then I shift and I do that for each one of these stories.
Wow. I'm curious why the tagline is not 8 quests for boys and girls.
I would have loved to write 8 quests for kids to grow up with kindness, courage, and grit. And this is something I truly struggled with, because of course these principles and lessons, like girls are of course should have radical honesty and healthy boundaries and inherent sense that all people are equal and authenticity, of course. But when I looked at culture, I saw that guys are getting a different message from society than girls are. And because of that, because there's a different ailment, it requires a different medicine. So that's why it's written specifically for guys to speak to the stuff, the toxic messages that guys are hearing. I would love for there to be a version that I co-author with a warrior who helps me to title the thing 8 quests for girls to grow up with kindness, courage, and grit. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm a guy, so I started with guys, because I understand that perspective, but absolutely this is for all human beings.
It seems like we luckily have propelled ourselves out of the era where dads say things to their sons like, don't be such a sissy, stop crying, you crybaby, and those sorts of horrific toxic.
And worse, and much worse, and derogatory towards people of different sexualities and demeaning towards women. I mean, we use phrases that are like, insulting if it's equated to be female or feminine.
Right.
And what a horrible message to give a young man that, hey, not only are you not a man by expressing any weakness, but also to be equated with a woman is like the equivalent of societal shame. Man, that's awful. That is horrible.
On so many levels. And yet it's interesting because young girls now are being told, you know, claim your ability to emote, claim the gift that you have for using words and communicating and expressing your feelings and being vulnerable. These are our gifts. And it still takes me back to nature nurture. And I feel like even saying those things to young girls, it further separates and reinforces, I mean, they're all good things, right? But it still kind of reinforces this distinction between girls and boys, which I never know how to tread through, really.
Yeah, so I agree with you, and that's part of the struggle I came up with. Like, do I write a book just for boys or just for girls? And everything you just mentioned is what I'm defining as a strength in this book. Because guys also have their like unique set of strengths, but unfortunately those are pathology, or many result in a pathology, because that kind of raw power, whether it's from hormones or just a different set of chromosomes, it's not guided, it's not harnessed, if you will, into a positive result to look after society and protect. So I would love to get to a point where we can say, hey, these are the things that we as humans value as strengths. We all see one another as equals, but we're not there yet. And so, yeah, it's a struggle, but it's up to people like you and I to take our kids through these cultural messages, sift through them with them as their warrior guide, and show them what strength is for people, not just for boys or not just for girls.
I think for me, when you mentioned going to see a therapist, it was more difficult than climbing Mount Everest, is deciding to do that, to talk about your PTSD. I've experienced PTSD and I've seen a therapist about it. And to me, sometimes I leave going, well, that was just like talking with my girlfriends, and yet I had to pay $100 for it. Yeah. Therefore, I think that it's even more important for boys and men to seek therapy, because I mean, I don't know what it's like for you, but I have this whole cadre of girlfriends that I go to, and I see with even my husband, you know, men just don't seem to have guy friends around that they can share everything with. And that's a real stereotype. I recognize I'm doing it, but how true have you found that in your life?
It's a stereotype because often stereotypes come from truths. So in my life, I was kind of taught that you got to be independent, you handle it yourself, don't ask for help. And many of the guys that I grew up as friends with have kind of shared this same sentiment of, oh, it was so much easier to meet other guy friends when we were younger. And now the older you get, the fewer and fewer friends like that guys end up having, and the harder it is to connect because of that very message. And that's why for me, therapy was so important, because like, here's a person who's going to take an hour to hear what your story is, connect with you, and give you some solutions, just as we would want a friend to do. But we're not modeled like, here's how to listen with empathy. We're not modeled, here's how to care for someone else without trying to make it into a competition. And that's why I thought that for me personally, it was so valuable to have those times with the therapist that I saw.
How has your experience with the therapist evolved your relationships with your male friends or your female friends?
It has made me more emotionally honest. If I'm frustrated by something, I'm willing to just mention it right then and there, and we handle it and we say, okay, you want to be treated this way? Okay, I want to be treated that way. We come to a solution and we move forward. Prior to that, friendships would end because I couldn't go there. I would never say like, this is actually what happened. So learning to set healthy boundaries was a massive part of it for me. And I was terrified. Like, I can't tell somebody that their pissing me off, because then it's just going to blow up and the friendship's going to end. What if I don't let it build into something like that? And what if we teach our boys that same thing? You just say, hey, this, I'm angry right now. Could you please not track in your dirty hands all over my textbook for a young man? Or like for me, like, don't walk into my house with mud on your boots. That's much more healthy. And that's how relationships can continue. So I took that from therapy. I took a more authentic level of equality amongst races and genders, just kind of seeing the culture that I was brought up in, and being more compassionate towards other humans who grew up different than me. And I dismantled a lot of these cultural ideas that I was given.
My guest is John Beattie. His book is The Warrior Challenge, 8 Quests for Boys to Grow Up with Kindness, Courage, and Grit. And John, before I let you go, just looking at your challenges right off the bat, my favorite one was carry anti-venom. Mm. Can you tell us the story of that?
Sure, of course. So carry anti-venom means to learn how to spot and stop toxic relationships. And in this one, I put the reader into the shoes of a former NFL player who not only admits to being toxic himself, but he had an abusive situation happen to him. And after the kind of that story is shown, then I break down, here's how you can recognize when you may be involved in, or you may be creating a toxic situation in your own life. And anti-venom, you know, if there's such a thing as toxins, just like a snake has a toxin, if it's a venomous snake, well, there's also anti-venom, and there's a way to heal from toxic relationships. And that's what that means. That's what that chapter is.
Well, what a great book, and a great service that you're doing for young men and for boys, and even for old men. You know, I just picture an adult sitting down with their young child and reading through this and really learning the stuff that they missed as they were growing up, being given toxic messages, you know, almost solely.
I hope that parents become warrior guide to their kids and go through this. And I mean, I interviewed dozens and dozens of my most respected people. And this is a collective project. This is a collective project of my editors who were female. This is a collective project of domestic violence educators who I called and gained knowledge from them, stuff that I had no clue about. And it's all here in this book. So I thank you for thanking me. But, and the acknowledgments is like 5 pages long because of how many voices went into this. And I learned immensely in my own journey as a result of writing this. And I hope that we can just raise our kids with that collective voice of what's a better version to be a great human being, which is a true warrior in today's world.
John Beattie, I hope you end up in Park City someday and come and visit us. I think it'd be great to hear you come here and speak. And what's not to like about Park City, right?
I love it there. I've skied many times. I've climbed around there and climbed a lot of those mountains. Is it Timpanogos, I think, was the last one I went up?
Uh-huh.
Nearby? Yeah, Gorgeous. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, John, thanks so much. It's been great talking with you.
Awesome. So if anybody would like a signed insert for their copy, or inserts, depending on how many kids you have or how many you purchase, my website, where I give you details, of, I'll mail it to you for free. That's also where you could get a ebook sample as well as the audiobook sample, which I narrated. That website is www.warriorchallengebook.com. And if you just want to skip that, go straight to Amazon. It's called The Warrior Challenge, 8 Quests for Boys to Grow Up with Kindness, Courage, and Grit. And you're looking for the book with the bright red cover.
I love the audiobook idea. For boys who can't sit still.
Exactly. Or road trips.
Road trips, exactly. All right. You take care, John. Thanks so much. Good talking with
you. Thanks for having me on. You too.
Okay.